Hello everyone, welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today it's going to be the Peter Yu Show with Shintaro Higashi. We're going to talk a lot about systems and ideas and innovation, where Peter's an expert.
We have to thank our sponsors first,
yeah. Jason, LaVon, and David. Thank you guys. Without you guys, we can't do it. Judo TV, discount code Shintaro. I'm going to Georgia for the Grand Slam to commentate, so please check it out. Use my code. Also, Shintaro Higashi's higashibrand.com.
Sponsoring my own thing. He'll be the new face of Judo TV, guys. Shintaro with the new face.
That's the plan, right?
That's so exciting.
See how that goes. Yeah.
So today, I think we wanted to talk about how judo, like to some of the things, you know, people talk about how you learn so much from judo and then how those things translate into their real lives. And I will talk about how I took the learnings I got from judo into my own work, which is currently research AI in AI. I'm trying to get a PhD. It's just been a crazy journey. So that's the topic today. It's a kind of out there thing. We're not really talking about judo exclusively. Hopefully,
are people like parallels in thinking, or are you thinking about like judo in your work environment where someone doesn't fund you and you slam them on?
Well, we can talk about both. We can talk about both. Exactly. When my undergrad assistant doesn't do the work, I'll give a stern talking to.
You have an undergraduate assistant?
I used to have a couple, but I stopped taking them on because I think the biggest problem is that they are so busy with their classes, and that should be their priority unless they want to go to on a research thing. So I didn't get much out of them, so I kind of stopped taking them on.
That's too bad.
I know, But anyway, so I've been thinking a lot about how to conduct, how to be a good researcher, like, and then what does a researcher do? A scientist is basically identifying. It's not just about solving problems. You have to identify the right problem to solve, and that's very, very hard. That's, I think, even harder than actually solving the problem.
And I guess that's something relatable to judo martial arts too.
Yeah. Right? So
I can't finish Uchimata, and then it's like, hey, can you teach me Uchimata? Right.
Right.
What's the problem?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's not about just like, oh, for example, we talk about this a lot, right? Like when you watch a YouTube video and then you're like, oh my God, the thing that Shintaro does with the Georgian grip is so cool. I'm going to learn it. That's not the right problem to solve necessarily. You know, that might not fit your system. You may be creating a problem that doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So how do you find the right problem to solve?
So I think the best way is you have to know the basic techniques, the fundamentals. So you can't just go out and like, say you can't even do a seirinage, and you can't just go out and try to learn like the variations on the seirinage, Korean seirinage, you know, reverse seirinage, or like the way you enter different things, drop seirinage, without actually knowing the intricacy of the actual, just the textbook throw. And I realize that I feel that a lot when I do research now. You can't just go out and, for example, just read research papers. That's just like just watching YouTube videos.
Wait, but isn't that the fundamental to learn the actual text? How do you, where's the repetition?
In my field, it's not just about reading research papers and also, and just like learning the material. You also have to know how to make them, like how to implement the research ideas. Like you have these theories, right? Like, oh, this high, you know, the model architecture should be like this. And then you have to use this type of data and then this type of loss function, whatever. I'm kind of throwing all the jargon.
I love it.
But ultimately you have to, it's more of a computer science thought to be the show me field of in science, because you have to actually,
it's like the judo, the martial arts world.
It's like a show me field because you can establish all these theories or whatever, but ultimately you have to make it happen. You have to write the program and then run, you know, experiments to show that it actually works, you know?
Okay, quick question. So computer science, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, now, right? Yeah. Like the trends change, right?
Yeah.
Like in, there's some meta that happens in grappling too, right, with Georgian grip and this and that, and what's popular now, drop knees, uki,
yeah, yeah,
right? So like, is there something similar in,
of
there
course,
must be in tech, right?
Dude, it's, so of where course,
was it 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago,
so,
and now?
Yeah, so I've been in the field 10 years, for about a little over than 10 years now, because I graduated from college in 2013. And back then, the big thing was the meta. Back then was big data and distributed systems. So that's when the internet was popping.
That's right. Gorillaz used to have a T-shirt that said, data is a new bacon.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Big
exactly.
data. Yeah.
So at that point, people are just gathering data because the internet was really popping off. I mean, of course, it was growing before, but it was more like social media were getting... Social media companies were getting really popular. So they were, and the people are, lay people are interacting with the internet more. It wasn't just about these nerds going on these message boards and talking about nerd stuff. Like your grandmas were coming on Facebook, you know?
That's true. It's like with judo and then now jiu-jitsu. Then you got like
exactly. It wasn't just all the Olympians training in judo. Or it's more like all the. So 10 years ago, that's why I actually, my first job was an advertisement technology company, which means like, it's a, that was another meta. Like, how do you monetize these free services? You run ads, and then there's a lot of things that happen in order to run ads, like show you ads.
So that was before AppNexus.
That was AppNexus. That was
AppNexus. That was AppNexus.
Yeah, that was AppNexus.
Okay.
AppNexus was the company that...
So what happened trend-wise after that?
So that around 2012, so I guess the that was like the peak of 2012, 2013 was the peak of big data, distributed systems, and But then something crazy happened in AI. Basically, all, until then, from the 80s till then, AI was kind of a second citizen field because... Again, it goes back to the idea of being a show-me field. AI researchers put out all these new systems, but just didn't work. They couldn't show people they worked. So funding dried up. People stopped paying attention. It's called the AI winter. But then in 2012, this guy, actually the chief scientist at OpenAI, Ilya Sutskever, and his... lab mate published a paper but developed a new system that could recognize classify images, like identify what's in the image really well. It was like it was almost as if their motto was almost like, I don't know, it's like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy in judo, like it's it kind of like Ono Shohei, kind of like they were just running through people. That model beat the next best model by like 10% or something. I can't, I forget the name.
Yeah.
That's when people started paying attention back to AI. So that's
let me ask a question. You know how, like, are you a human logging in, pick all the squares with bicycles in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that have anything to do with training AI or what, it, like, what
so
is that?
So I think it kind of does. My understanding is that you're actually helping. Helping label the images a little bit. It's not, so there's a lot of different ways. You actually don't even, you know, sometimes you don't even, it wouldn't even show you an image. You just have to click on it. So that works because it's differentiating you from a bot by just tracking the mouse movement. Like the way you click the button. Because the human, we click the button differently. So, but then if the confidence level is low, it starts showing you the image. And my understanding is that sometimes they'll show you like images that are already labeled, but sometimes it'll show you images that are not labeled. So you're almost like kind of helping, label the image, like where
but the. Then how will they know if you picked it right or not? Like picked all the traffic lights.
I don't know the details, but I think it's more about like you can show the same image to multiple people, right? And then see what the agreement is between them.
Something so it like is that. AI related?
Yeah, so then that data, that labeled image can go back, can be fed back into the AI system. And then,
you know, it'd be funny one day, man. You could like pick the one that's Uchimata versus Hanegoshi becomes.
Oh, dude, that you know what?
That break the internet.
That's actually a good idea. Like, I don't judo throw classifier. Like, you show a video and then. Yeah.
We're definitely not solving a problem that is actually
Is it a good problem? Do we actually
definitely need not. Let's stop wasting our time on Hanegoshi Uchimata. No one gives a shit, guys. Stop. Just train, please. Yeah.
But yeah, so those are the meta changes. So then AI, so it kept, once that system showed a big improvement, people started saying, oh, wow, all the data we've been collecting for the past 10 years, can now be processed through this new paradigm. It's an old paradigm that's been rediscovered and then shown to work again. But so that's the meta change. Old becomes new, new becomes old, right? Like even in judo BJJ meta, right?
Yeah, of course. Recycle.
So that's been, that's kind of the meta change for the past 10 years that I've been in the field.
So what problem are you trying to solve now?
So I am solving, my thesis will be around videos and large language models. So I can go into more details, but the basic idea is, you know ChatGPT, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make it so that ChatGPT, something like ChatGPT, can also understand videos. Like,
since when are you working on this? Because I thought you were doing AI chatbot stuff for a little while.
Yeah, so...
natural language.
Yeah, so I used to... when I entered the lab, that's another meta change. When I started my PhD in 2020...
Yeah.
The pure language models, just the AI system that only process language, were thought to be unsolved. Still, like, there was a lot of challenges involved. Yeah. But then OpenAI basically took everyone by surprise in a way.
Yeah.
So ChatGPT, they didn't, like, their ideas weren't all new, but they took all the learnings from other researchers. A lot of it came from Google, actually.
Yeah.
And then they just took it to the max, and this turns out that's actually the key. You just have to do it in a larger scale, and then it just works really well. To the point where a lot of the pure language tasks, basically it made me think, you know, also this disclaimer is that there are researchers out there who are all still working on the pure language tasks, and I'm not trying to diminish their research, but for my personal interest, I thought there was no more room for me in that pure language world. So I thought, you know what, maybe I need to incorporate other, what they call modalities, like language versus plus image, language plus sound.
So you pivoted. Sometimes,
right?
So I pivoted.
Right?
When you're doing standard stand-up two-handed judo and you're going against the Japanese or somebody been doing their whole life, you kind of have to find your way to force Newaza or something and transition,
I mean, that's exactly what I did. I thought I had to pivot because...
I mean, look at Jackie Onetsuka. He's like kind of has judo-specific Newaza that works really well for him, and he wins the majority of his matches that way.
Yep. I mean, American
jiu-jitsu, right? He's not going to lock up and stand up and do high uchimatas and things like this.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure he can, but... that you got to pivot and find your own niche, and then you got to stay with it to kind of win and get ahead of the pack.
Yeah, right? That's my niche. Like this idea, this videos and language, that's my special Newaza move, I guess.
Is that why you started the Descript situation? Is that how you got into that?
No, I got into that first. So actually, doing the podcast, it kind of helped. It's kind of funny how life works, right? Like I started dealing with video editing, I'm not doing anything crazy, but during the process, I had to learn about how videos are actually saved on the video on your computer and how they are streamed, and I kind of had to teach myself about these details, and that's when I realized, you know what, there's a lot of challenge. There's a lot of challenge that that not a lot of researchers are looking at. You know,
because that's like black belt thinking right there. Because for me, it's like compress, make it big, take it, drag it, put it in YouTube.
I mean, in the process, like, you know, if you keep doing it, I mean, this is one other thing that that's why I think you need the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I wouldn't have realized that this is a problem by just reading research papers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, same as, like, this know-how, like, this hands-on knowledge is, I think, very valuable. A lot of times people overlook that. It's not just about reading books. You gotta actually go out and do it. It's not just about watching YouTube videos.
That's what they say, right? F around and find out.
Yeah, it's actually kind of like that. Like, you can't just mess around just reading things that other people have done. You actually have to do it. So that's why, even in pure language tests that I didn't think, which I didn't think, eventually concluded that it wasn't for me. If you actually sit down and do it, there are still a lot of challenges, you know, this know-how. But it just didn't interest me that much anymore. So
when did you pivot to the video?
It's been about a year.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I've been...
I'm sure there's a lot of people working on this too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but then there's... But also my niche, even with videos, that's like the big umbrella. But even within videos, I'm like going more into like a specific niche.
Tell me. Are you allowed to say it?
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, I have a paper out, so it's...
Where can we find this paper? Well, how come you're not sending me this video to the paper? You don't think I can read?
Well, it's... No, of course. I don't think... it's pretty niche, so I don't know if you will find it interesting. I'll send it to you.
I can read the abstract, right? Yeah, I mean, it says it in English.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
So, my thinking is that... So, I was involved in a project that dealt with the HoloLens. You know the HoloLens?
No.
So, you know Apple Vision Pro, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so it's awesome.
Microsoft had a similar thing like way before. So that's the problem with Microsoft. And Apple is amazing at it. Like, they wait until other people do it and then make it better. But anyway, that's aside. But I had a project that I had to work with video. This headset wearable that will transmit videos back to the computer, and I had to do something with that video. So now that's a different challenge now, because if you go back to how you look at how you use ChatGPT, it's more turn-based, right? It's like you type in a message, it responds, go back and forth, take turns.
Yeah, and some people are very, very good at this, and it's a field called prompt engineering.
Yeah, that's right. This guy, he's getting his hands dirty on this, and then he's going to figure something out.
Shintaro. All because of you, though. You've been inspiring me to take a look at these things, and I'm not going to lie. It's helped me write a couple of captions for Instagram. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I use ChatGPT all the time to write my descriptions for the podcast and all that.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen, like, me fighting the Junior World Champ on my Instagram, there's like a little snippet that's written, and I kind of just told how I was feeling to the ChatGPT, and like, make it more legit and caption friendly for Instagram.
And then he
instantly did it, and I was like, okay, my work is done.
Bang. Yeah, and now you can do other better things. Yeah, how great is that? Time. That's the Anyway, so that's turn based, but in wearable, everything gets transmitted in real time. It's more interactive, like videos. There's a stream of videos coming, there's a stream of sound coming, you know. And my niche is that, like, instead of turn-based interactions, how can we make these models work better in this more real-time stream interactions? That's my eventual goal. And there's some other really niche technical challenges that I need to solve, and that's the paper I just wrote. It's under review, you know, so like hopefully it'll get in. But so there's
we vote on it?
Yes. I wish that upvote. I know. I wish I could. You can vote on it. There's like a whole programmer social media kind of thing where you can host your code. So you can give me a star if you would like. But anyway, so that's my niche right now. I was able to find this niche because, of course, I had to read a lot of papers to just get the basic knowledge. But at the same time, I had to really get my hands dirty and then work. Like, I had to really do a lot of randori, basically.
Yeah.
Try to figure out what the problem is. What is the actual problem that needs to be solved? And then I could go back and read more, like, papers that are more appropriate, like, more related to the problem I'm trying to solve. So it's like me going... I was like going with this, for example, like with Shintaro, then man, like he's so good with this position. I just couldn't figure out how to break his high collar grip or something. And then I like would go back to your channel and then try to look up specific videos that address that issue, try to get inspired, like, oh, what kind of things. And then when you apply to your specific situation, you have to tweak it a little, right? And that's, I think, is research.
Yeah, and you know, you watch it, you learn it, you go do it, and then you have other problems, and then you go back to it, and maybe they answered that question, maybe they did not.
Exactly.
Maybe they answered it, but you know, it just didn't log properly, but now you have a different perspective, different idea. You internalize that information, now you have more questions, and then when you watch something else, maybe the ideas connect, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be the same in
research, right? It's exactly the same, and I it's kind of doing research... helped me enjoy judo more because I've been seeing all these parallels and vice versa. So I honestly think I've gotten better at judo just by doing research.
Yeah.
Because I see that, oh, this is how it works. Like I can do the same thing for judo and then back and forth.
So let's hear about your processes for the PhD going in reverse. What are some ideas about judo and theory that you have right now?
So right now, I've been briefly mentioned it, but I've been working on my uchimata a lot. So I used to be, my niche was serinage and taiotoshi. You know, I'm not a tall guy. I'm not a strong guy. So my niche was that, you know, I need to rely on my technique and speed to get under people and then throw. But I realized that as I got older, it's been, my speed has decreased. My knees are not as good, so I've been having knee pains a little bit.
More rotate on the elbow and shoulder too.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So I needed a better way to. I didn't want to excise like serinage or taiotoshi from my game. That's my bread and butter. Like But then I needed a way to really save it until the end. Like it's like my finisher, right?
Yes.
So I needed a way to stay on my feet in the beginning stages and then finish off with, you know, taiotoshi or serinage. So, and then I realized that uchimata actually is a very, very good throw for that. So I've been playing around with it a lot. So of course, so then I have a problem right now. I did find a good problem. I need to develop my uchimata, incorporate into my judo game in the earlier stages. So I watch a lot of your videos, obviously. I went back and then watched all your uchimata videos. Yeah. I went to watch a lot of videos of Maruyama, Ono, and I wanted to watch the middleweights a lot. I didn't really watch the heavyweight uchimata.
I'm going to send you a link, remind me, one of the paid video stuff, the Uchimata Instructional, the OT Uchimata Instructional. I put it on YouTube as unlisted.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you the link.
I think I might have watched that. As you know, I have an editor.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's right.
I watched it.
You pirating motherfucker.
Yeah. You need to pay for this, but, you know.
Good. Yeah. Purely special privileges.
Yeah, so I basically went out and read the prior works, you know, on
prior works.
Okay. That's what they call. And then I started trying to implement it. Of course, like, so I will try... Ono setup and Maruyama setup in randori. You know, I wouldn't even go for any. Like, I had practices where I didn't try a single serinage, for example.
Nice.
Because I would just force myself to like play, and then of course then I would, you know, this is another thing that you talk about. Like, I wouldn't go against black belts a lot. I would go try to do it on like white belts and green belts. The intermediate people, so that they
loaded on every white belt in there.
I was very gentle, of course. Man, I was so very gentle. Then I'll go back to the drawing board. Then you get to like refine the problem better. Like, what's the even more niche thing? Like, oh, I wasn't pulling it off. Should I try the different entry, different way to unbalance people?
Because a lot of that stuff is not explicitly taught, right? No. And a lot of it is feel for you too. Because only, you know, you could say like, all right, right versus left, they're putting this weight on this lead arm.
Yeah.
How do I lift it? You could force it. But sometimes like finding a way to like let them not think about that arm and do something else, other threats. So now then you can lift it when they're not thinking about it. That stuff is all, it's, like a lot of that stuff's feel.
Feel. And then that actually happens in coding and engineering and research too. You need this intuition. And then I don't really believe that some people are born with it. You know, I think, yes, maybe some people are more talented at identifying. Maybe they have more interest in it, so they just watch or read more. But ultimately, what you need to do is you just need to do it. Like, you have to code. You have to actually code or try to build something. Or in judo, you have to do randori, or more like, if you can't do randori, more... you know, the drills you talk about more like with the people that give you more resistance.
The role that might be analogous to like the dojo or the teacher. Yeah. Right? You're at Michigan right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. UMich.
UMich. Yeah. In UMich. Ann Arbor. Yeah.
In Ann Arbor. So UMich, and then having the guy who's the professor that is in charge of your research. What is that called?
Advisor. My advisor. She's a great advisor. Yeah. And so I will bounce off ideas with her, basically.
So would she be the sensei equivalent?
So it depends. There are a lot of different types of advisors. I would say mine's more of a hands-off advisor. So she's tenured already. She has some a lot of research experience. But then, like I said, the meta has changed. Yeah. So she'll be more like the traditional Japanese judo sensei kind of thing. That's how I view it. So she has a lot of knowledge herself, but it's the meta has changed. So she's not as familiar with my meta, right? The videos.
Yeah.
But she helps me how to frame the paper, how to frame the story, how to set up the experiments so that, you know, to make my story more convincing to other people. Because research also is not about just like, oh, you know, let's put out the discovery and idea. You need to convince other scientists. That's the peer review process. You need to be able to convince other scientists that your work is worth it.
Yeah. I mean, same in judo, right? You got to go out.
Like,
you
can't be competition.
Bombing white belts doesn't do anything. You got to go exactly. You got to prove your thing. You prove your theories. Ideas.
So you're
You seek this advisor out, but it's not the same advisor, right?
I thought so basically how I got in was I had two advisors. I was co-advised by two, but the older gentleman and my current advisor.
Yeah.
Because I thought I could do something together with all three. But ultimately, the older gentleman retired. And I just decided to just work with this current
I remember
advisor.
Before you even went in, you were emailing the guy, hey, I read your paper, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
it's equivalent to someone emailing me, hey, bro, I watched your video, it was amazing, I want to come train with you. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I guess
when they show up,
That's exactly it. So for me, because I didn't do a lot of research in undergraduate years, I need to kind of take a more personalized approach in my graduate school admission process.
Yeah.
So I reached out, I went through the list of professors at University of Michigan because I knew that I would only want to go to the University of Michigan because I was going to be in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I picked out these two professors and I emailed them. I read the papers and I was like, hey, I think I want to do something along the line. Like, kind of like, you know, like a Olympic hopeful would come and email and like, hey, can I live in your apartment and then train with you kind of thing.
So when you finish this thing and then you become a PhD and you have your niche, eventually you too become a professor, right?
Some
professors do research and some professors teach, right? It's a little bit of a parallel there. Both industries, no money.
So, right? There's teaching positions, there are research positions, but even in research positions, you're kind of required to teach also.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But some professors right? They teach one class.
Yeah, usually they don't teach that many. Yeah. I mean, so.
And we're talking full professors, not like adjunct or anything like that, right? Professors on the track to get.
Like a tenure track. Yeah.
That's a whole different thing, right?
So I'm not too familiar with it because my plan is not to stay in academia. I want to go back to the industry. So I'm not going to be a professor.
What would be the equivalent to that in judo?
I would say opening up, I guess being a professor is more like, I don't know if the analogy would be correct, but maybe going to the Olympics would be like, or like trying to stay as a competitor, maybe staying in like academia. But opening up a dojo yourself might be like going into the industry, maybe. It's more lucrative. Right. In the industry.
Yeah, I guess, all right. Open up your own dojo would be the equivalent.
I don't know if it's like exactly the right analogy, but something like that. There are many paths. I don't think staying in academia is my path.
Why? Yeah. Because there's no money in it?
No, I mean, there's that too, but I just don't think my talent will be right for academia. Yeah.
All right, so once you decide on this niche that you've already decided on, and do you see like a path, what is the path after that, like in an ideal world? Like you finish your PhD in the next 2 years, is that right?
Next year, hopefully, in a year.
Next year, and then what do you do right after that?
I'll look for a job. So my plan,
I mean, you could come to New York and teach Tommy Champs at my dojo.
Yeah, maybe, that's my backup. So, my plan is to, like, again, I want to build up my street creds, basically. I want to do more, I want to do more hands-on work. So I want to join a research lab in a bigger company in the industry so that I can, already tell people that I'm a decent engineer because I have a, 7-year experience with good work experience. So now I want to... kind of say I did my PhD, I did some more further research in industry so that I can tell people that I know how to do it, and then maybe join a smaller company as a higher up person.
All right, so let's just say, right, someone listening who works in that field, if you were to give your like 2-minute resume, right? Oh, I worked at AppNexus, went to Princeton, worked at Etsy, right? You were a programmer at Etsy.
I worked at another startup. Blah, blah, blah,
PhD.
Yeah.
If you were to give your like 1-minute elevator pitch, maybe someone listening. Probably not. It's a bunch of grapplers.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There are a lot. Isn't that like a thing? Like a lot of tech people are doing BJJ now or something?
I don't know, man. Yeah. Maybe.
My elevator pitch would be that I am...
Maybe Mark Zuckerberg is listening because he likes jiu-jitsu. Oh, yeah. Now.
Dude, he does. Hey, he's got decent BJJ.
Sell yourself to Mark Zuckerberg.
All right. Zuck,
tell him that even before that movie came out, you were like, drop the thought. Like, you already said that. You've been saying that.
So, one thing I can really say about to distinguish myself is that I can wear the engineer hat as well as a researcher hat. So I am not only trained to find good problems, but also I can solve them in a more practical sense. Like, because a lot of time in academia, when you identify a problem and then you solve it in a very haphazard way, you don't have to set up like the right infrastructure or anything, because the goal is to prove that your problem is good and can be solvable. But I can I'm more of a generalist in the sense I can identify the right problem to solve, I can propose a good solution, and I can even implement it. Basically, I can really show my work.
That's awesome. So
that's what I'm trying to build myself up as. Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone who does grappling needs to be able to kind of have that too, right?
Yeah.
They have to be. Some people just go in and then just practice the techniques that have been taught, and they never really make the connections. Some people learn, this guy's teaching this and that, and they're just kind of copying it and then trying to do those things and making their body. But some people are truly innovators, right? They just like kind of.
In the judo sense, like my goal would be to, like, not only can I do the techniques properly, like in the whole like pretty way, right? And also, but also I can. identify new problems and then actually implement it in randori. Like I want to be a good, I want to stay as a judoka that can do randori with anyone. Like heavy, light, tall, short. I try not to shy away from, like, I don't ask people for their weights, for example. Oops, yeah. I almost fell. Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of in the judo, and then there's some parallel to my professional career, I guess. Yeah.
Love that. Love that. That's so interesting, man.
Yeah, so I think that's what I got out of judo.
Yeah.
Especially around innovation and identify the right problem.
Yeah.
How to then do the research to find a solution and actually implement it.
Nice. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
This is fascinating, dude. It's really interesting. Yeah.
Wait, maybe you should did I inspire to become a more of a researcher?
I mean, I've been doing a lot of prompt engineering stuff.
Yeah, I know. So now this is your at the phase where you're like learning, you're doing all the uchikomis, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe you're dabbling in the randori a little, like trying to solve problems that you actually have.
Mm.
And now you can come up with new ones, like the new problem that no one solved before.
Sure. I was asking it to do like woodblock prints and like Monet, Manet, impressionist style things and like experimented with that because now they could generate images.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But like not hyper-realistic images, they can't do that at all. And human body is very difficult. But like you said, landscapes, things. There's archives and archives of art that are already been created. And you can say, hey, make this color different or make this more...
Right.
Right? Whatever it is, and make it futuristic. Throw this in there, throw that. It's like so cool what you could do. You could be kind of like an artist without actually having the skill of it, you know?
Yeah.
Or just like prompting it. So
I think that will be a new form of art too. A lot of people are already doing that kind of work.
Yeah, and that was kind of my idea with Higashi Brand. I'm gonna put like a Japanese woodblock print, ukiyo-e style, like with the big wave, but in like impressionist style, with very vibrant colors, and slap it on the back, and you know, call it my own design, even though AI came up with that, right?
So, I mean, it's like you're collaborating. You're using a tool. I don't think it's like people drawing on the iPad instead of like a canvas.
That's true. That's true.
In a way.
Yeah. But I'm experimenting with it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know? There are other things too. Other models out there too. So, you should definitely experiment. That's like doing uchikomis right now. Randori. Yeah.
I mean, even like copywriting, I get solicitations for that all the time. Hey, can I copyright for you? Hey, can I do this? Hey, this is an email thing that I've already copywritten for you. Like, would you be interested in my services if I could give you 3 emails for free? Can you give me a call if you do
that? I didn't know that.
I get that all the time. Every day, I get like 2 or 3 solicitations like that. Yeah. And it's usually some kid on the other side using ChatGPT. You know? I'm almost certain that
nowadays,
they're not writing themselves. Like, what? This kid, didn't even go to college and he could write better than me? Get out of here. Maybe, but I've been kind of experimenting with that and sending out emails to, if you guys haven't already, go to shintarohigashi.com and sign up for our email list, I send out emails very rarely, but every now and then I'll be inspired, and by me sending out emails, I mean Lewis, who is an actual copywriter.
wonder if he uses ChatGPT.
I don't know. Maybe he does. But he's a little bit older, and he's been doing this for a long time, way before this.
Right.
So he probably... ChatGPT stuff. So he probably actually writes it himself.
He probably has more, like, the hands-on knowledge that ChatGPT can replicate.
Right. Yeah. Now. And you know what? I think once you start implementing something like that, you could scale, and you have much bigger capacity to do more stuff in terms of, like, workflow becomes better, productivity becomes better. You could prompt with the proper context and the specificity to produce what you actually wanted to produce in a much more shorter amount of time.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, that's the way, right? I don't know that's how it's become, but like prompt engineering is, I think it's becoming its own field, more like a skill.
I mean, there's some people that are like, hey, dude, prompt engineering is just proper grammar and proper speaking and proper requesting things and communicate, right? It's like just communicating.
Yeah, really. It is like we've invented this thing, and now how do we get the right information out of it? It's almost like, there's no manual yet. So we're all figuring things out. Yeah. You're figuring it out, man.
You know what? Maybe I'm like a yellow belt in that.
I am not good at prompt engineering myself. So I'm right there with you. So.
Some of these videos are ridiculous, though. They're like, here, let me teach you how to be a prompt engineer. And it's like, what you need? Context. Hey, I'm a judo YouTuber. Yeah. Like, what do you need? A script for a video that may go viral. Specificity, like in a 1 to 2 minute thing.
And it's I didn't even know that.
No shit. You know, shit. That's like, who doesn't already do this to begin with?
You know, but that kind of video is, so if you go back to find the analogy in judo, it's like boutique judo dojos versus like the scaled up dojos, right?
Yeah.
That would be like the judo curriculum.
Yeah.
And then you just, of course, it's not the best. Like, it's kind of rigid, and then maybe, you know, it's not as personalized as your instructions at your boutique gym, but. Yeah.
You could, that's a good idea. Scale up, one? I guess. I'm going to ask ChatGPT to create a 10-week judo curriculum, a 5-week judo curriculum, a 20-week judo curriculum. Just sell it.
Sell it.
That's unethical.
Well, you probably have to give a lot of information about it. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a conversation, right?
For sure. Man, that's so interesting. If you guys want to find Peter, where do they find you?
You can find me on Instagram. I don't really post a lot on Instagram, but I do interact with you guys, you know, if you message
me. Send him a message. He will always respond.
I'll put it down in the description below.
Strangers on the internet.
it's by Kunu Peter. Kunu is my Korean name, and Peter is my middle name. Yeah, Keunwo. Is it Peter Kunu or Kunu Peter? I forget.
I forget. Let's see it. Look it up.
Yeah,
for the people, man.
It's Peter Kunu, I think. P-E-T-R, Peter, and K-E-U-N-W-O-O. Yeah.
Nice.
And you can find me there. And of course, I'm the producer of this podcast, so I like, you know, you can find me on Discord if you're a Patreon supporter. If you leave comments on YouTube for podcast videos, or like I think Spotify, you can leave comments. I read them.
Nice. Yeah. If you want to hear more about Peter, please leave a comment. Let us know, and then we'll do more of these. This is so interesting,
dude. I hope you guys liked it. I
loved it, so I'm sure everyone else would like it too. I mean, why wouldn't they? You know.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, it was judo related.
I really think there's a lot of parallel.
Tons. Yeah.
So.
That's any pursuit of excellence.
Yeah.
All related.
Exactly. You got to put the time in. That's a quote. That's a quote. Any pursuit of excellence. Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, it just came to me.
Oh my God.
It's genius stuff. You know?
I know. That was pretty. That was good. Any pursuit of excellence is the same. You know.
Very true. Very true.
All right.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. Please sponsor us, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Bye.